Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
School of Humans.
Hello, everyone. This is a show where we talk about death, dying, and dead bodies. It can get explicit, so you've been warned. But if you've made it this far, enjoy Cadaver Gals.
Cadaver Gals!
Hello, all you beautiful, cadaverous people out there.
Mm.
Welcome to Cadaver Gals. I'm Taylor.
I'm Nika.
I'm Gabby.
And this is Cadaver Gals.
ASMR.
This is Cadaver Gals. This is a podcast where we talk about ways we die. So we're facing our own mortality here.
Today, we will dive into how a woman murdered her husband, the death of a sad philosopher, and how Google can solve mysteries.
So I really want to know how Owen Wilson and death are a thing, because I thought he was still alive.
As of recording this podcast, yes, he is. However, we do not know what 2020 holds for us.
Yeah, for real, though.
Yes. So I've never seen this movie. Have you guys seen The Wedding Crashers?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay,
you
well.
You haven't seen it?
Owen Wilson was in that movie. And in that movie, apparently he poisons someone and gives them explosive. Oh, I hate this word. I hate this word. I don't have to say it.
Diarrhea.
Yeah, thanks for saying it for me, Gabby. Say it again.
Diarrhea.
There we go.
I had this. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I had this
diarrhea.
I had a biology professor in college, and his two favorite, so he had like a microphone. So his two favorite things to say in a microphone were gonorrhea and diarrhea. And he said that literally every single class. Anyway, continue.
I would have dropped that class so quickly.
That's anyway, true. Poisoning. Aww.
Yeah, so in this movie, he gives someone that D word. The other D word. By putting eye drops mm-hmm. into their drink. That's like a thing that happens mm-hmm. in that movie, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's cheeky, it's fun, it's harmless.
It's flirty.
It's flirty, except
it was so that he could flirt.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert, it was for so he could flirt.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. So yeah, it was hella flirty. However, in real life, it's not the case. You kill someone. So that's what happened to our woman of the week, Lana Sue Clayton. So she's this 53-year-old woman from South Carolina.
Ooh, represent.
Represent. Hit. And this was actually, this is in 2020, so this is very recent. And she's been sentenced to 25 years in prison for voluntary manslaughter.
I feel like I probably know these people.
Ooh.
I'm sorry. I mean.
From Lake Wiley?
No. I don't know. I don't know
everybody. Okay.
We don't know those people.
We don't know.
Those aren't my people.
Okay.
My people are more like Hartwell.
Well, they're like from like a really nice affluent area, so it makes sense that you don't know them, Taylor.
Okay. Burn. All right.
So, according to her, she accidentally poisoned her husband's water with Visine eye drops.
Oops.
So she got the idea from Wedding Crashers, and basically she thought that it was just going to give him the D, and like, you know, it would just be like something to kind of annoy him. She was annoyed at him. But actually what really happens, when it gets into your eyes, what it does is they're like basically vasoconstrictors to the eyes. So it basically means that they take the blood vessels and they make them more narrow. And so there's less blood coming into the blood vessels. So your eyes clear up from whatever redness you have.
That makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. However, if you ingest it, it is absorbed very quickly through the gastrointestinal tract and it goes straight into your blood circulation. Blood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And it causes like nausea, blurred vision, a drop in body temperature, a dangerous drop in blood pressure, a mild coma, and then death. Oh, yes.
How much?
It's actually interesting. It's different for everyone. So it depends on how, like, what your body weight is, how, like, big or small you are, your, like, health in
your
the past.
Your emotional fitness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many times you go to therapy a week, like, things like that.
But imagine if you, like, consumed it and you cried a lot, then you might actually be safe.
That's true.
So that's why on this podcast we say cry to cry out the poison. You never know.
So that's what happens. So, like, death happens.
I wonder what it's, does it say that on the label?
It does. It says you should not ingest it and you got to keep it like away from children and pets.
So wait, how did he actually die then?
Well, he was found face down in his very nice house. And she said it was a fall. And what actually happened is he went into a coma basically. She admits initially to just poisoning him once. But according to investigators, he actually seems to have been poisoned over a period of 3 days. And then prosecutors were like, she was after his money because he owned a $1 million house in this really nice neighborhood that Taylor does not know of. And it was like an estate. And the house was under her husband's name and only her husband's name. It was actually like a replica of George Washington's Mount Vernon house, which is like this really beautiful, majestic house. And I don't know why anyone would want that, but he loved it. Yeah, they had initially concluded that it had been a bad fall, and then the autopsy happened, and they were like, oh, this man was poisoned.
Oh.
Actually, a whole funeral happened. They had their funeral in their really beautiful house. The estate was getting set. She was about to get away with it. And then the autopsy came back, and it was poison. And then she admitted to poisoning him and was sentenced to 25 years in prison. She said it was only once. And everyone was like, you know, she doesn't have any past, you know, things or whatever. She's never been to jail, like blah blah. And then they found out that she accidentally shot him with a crossbow while he was sleeping once.
What?
I hate when that happens.
4 years prior. So
accidentally.
Yeah, so that was like
just
not
messing around
helpful.
With my crossbow as I was standing in front of his sleeping
does.
Body.
No, she shot him in the head, like for real.
In the head.
Yeah, in the head.
With
he survived.
A crossbow mm-hmm. by accident.
Yep.
While was he sleeping in
he
their
sleeping.
Bed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I know.
Sounds like it was a very healthy marriage.
Yeah. That's pretty, all of that is premeditated. So 25, my point is 25 years. This is literally privilege right here. Written.
Yeah, they were
it.
Pushing for 50, but she ended up getting 25. It was actually pretty scandalous because when the autopsy results were coming in, she was found, like, they arrested her, and she was found trying to kill herself by, like, carbon monoxide poisoning. Because she said, she was like, I felt so bad, I even almost tried to kill myself. Like, she literally said that.
All right. Well, thank you, Nika. That was actually very eye-opening and enlightening, so.
Eye-opening.
But, that was, I would love to think that pun was intended.
It was. Everything is intentional.
Thank you, Nika, and we'll be right back.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
Old these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation,
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating.
And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Cadaver Lovers. It's Cadaver Gals. You already know. I want to listen to this incredible story that Gabby has. It's about a dog, right?
Well, not really. It's really about a guy named Heraclitus.
Oh, so you lied to us.
Yes, but there's going to be some doggies back at the end of the story. All right, so this is my main man, Heraclitus.
Did you just wink at me?
No, I probably just had a spasm.
She was like, this is about...
Gabby really makes me nervous sometimes, I'm not gonna lie.
So let me take you back in time to 475 BC.
Ooh, what a fucking year.
Good times were happening. What was happening? I don't know. Persia was messing around doing some stuff. There are some empires. There are people trying to get land and then not have it. And there's peasants and slaves. And people were doing all sorts of fun things like dying early. No rules.
Lots of human rights violations.
So this was a long time ago. This is back when philosophers were philosophizing, you know, probably wearing robes, I imagine, like kind of. I feel like they're kind of like transparent robes too, so you could kind of always see an outline of the bodice. You know, that's what I'm kind of imagining in this time. You know, some grapes are being held above people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, question. And I know that the answer is yes, but like people talked about philosophy, like we talk about philosophers all the time. And like all there's like all of these philosophers. But like who are the philosophers today? Who would be considered the philosophers today? I have no idea.
Cardi B.
All right.
Yeah, done. I mean, you read the Bible, the Cardi B Bible. It's really good. Mm-hmm. It says, oh, cur, and then the cur is just the whole, it's like 1,000 pages.
All the R's.
It's great. Well, there are modern philosophers. I mean, there's this one dude who wrote this book called Precipice, which is pretty good. It's about how, he was actually pretty optimistic about the end of the world. So there are philosophers, moral philosophers, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, there's like modern ones. There's like, you know, Nietzsche, he's pretty modern. I was thinking about him today because he hates women and it's really funny to read his quotes. He's just like, women suck.
But to somebody, so, okay, so then I guess really my question is somebody like, okay, what do you do for a living? Like, oh, I'm a philosopher.
Yeah, you're like, you work at Oxford or whatever and you read books and you like think about ideas.
You read books and think about ideas.
But really,
what
they're probably
a job.
They're probably like on TikTok now though, like philosopher TikTok.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's just interesting because you think of the old philosophers.
Yeah, long ass beards. But this guy Heraclitus, he was born in the Persian Empire in what is now modern day Turkey. And he got this really cool nickname, and I really identify with him. He was called the Weeping Philosopher because his shit was so depressing. He was like, cry, cry, cry. And then his nemesis was this other bro who everyone called the Laughing Philosopher. So, you know.
I'm sorry, but those times were pure comedy. Like, I cannot even imagine.
They hadn't even invented tragedy yet, so it was all comedy.
Only comedy.
You know why? It's so funny. This philosopher is just over there. He's just weeping. And then this other philosopher just is laughing at him for weeping.
And here's the thing that I think. So Heraclitus was known for crying and being depressed and shit. Sometimes when I think about philosophers and their lives, like literally like what you have to do all day to be a philosopher just sounds like depression. you know, like you sit at home. You look at the wall, you like write down your sad little meme thoughts, and then you're just like,
You contemplate a lot, you know? I don't want to look inward so much at myself because a lot of it is not pretty.
Yeah, and sadly, Heraclitus, he probably had too many deep thoughts, and that's why he was so depressed, ergo, the weeping philosopher, poor man, okay? He said a lot of really chipper things that I think we should get embroidered on pillows. For example, something he said was, corpses are more fit to be cast out than dung. Mm. Get that on a pillow. Mm. You know, dung is more valuable than a corpse.
Mm. I mean, you know I don't like that D word, but thank you for sharing.
Well, this was Heraclitus. I mean, he said it in a different language, but, you know, it still probably began with a D. Did they have Ds back then? I don't know. I relate to him because he had a big superiority complex, which I think as someone who's had depression, sometimes you get so deep in your depression, you're just like, I'm so sad and my sadness makes me better than other people. I just know what's up with the world. So he said, one is 10,000 to me if he be the best. Get that on a pillow. And so he also, okay, he... These aren't the dogs that I'm referencing, but he also did say that most dudes out there were just like dogs. He said, men like dogs, they also bark at what they do not know. So,
I mean, if that ain't true.
I know. He was definitely kind of like me and like how I think about basic people sometimes. You know, I'm just like, these dogs be barking.
That's
you know?
So mean, Gabby.
I know.
I love dogs.
What? That's mean too, Taylor. All humans are valuable.
So the thing about Heraclitus, he was the ultimate Debbie Downer. And he also, the problem with his philosophy, though, is that no one understood what the fuck he was saying. He was, like, so convoluted, which I also feel similar to, because sometimes I use too many prepositional phrases that people don't really understand what I'm saying. And they're like, what are you saying? And I'm like, I don't know what I'm saying. Mm. But I think Heraclitus never responded to the feedback where people were like, I don't know what you're saying. He was like, you are stupid. That's what he would do. He thought everyone was dumb.
Do you think that you and Heraclitus would be a good couple?
Ooh. No.
That sounds toxic as hell.
I do not want to date myself. No, thank you.
Okay.
No, thank you. Not. But I mean, I think we could work well in that he did become a hermit. Mm-hmm. And unlike you, I might thrive in a long distance relationship where I have like my hermit boyfriend out in the woods.
I kind of think you would thrive in a long distance relationship, actually.
He also, I mean, his big thing, though, was that he thought everything about life was strife. Like, everything is an oppositional force, so everything is just opposing. Mm-hmm. But I think that's kind of beautiful in some ways, because then it's like, if everything that is what it is, and we're working, and that's what the life is, it's the working through the strife.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, yeah, I actually do get that. And also, like, that makes me very tired. I've just been very tired lately.
You have a lot of strife.
There's a lot of strife in my life right now.
He said the human condition is chiefly categorized by strife, by the coming together and pulling away of opposing forces.
I'll drink to that, mate.
So the problem with all of this shit, the reason I'm saying all this stuff is because I love exposition and I always do too much of it. But here's the point. Heraclitus, he became a recluse at one point. Like, he got really standoffish from the other philosophers. He thought they were all morons because they didn't understand him. So he started playing with the kids. He started playing dice with them at the temple or whatever the fuck, you know what you do.
Yeah.
And then he just like went and lived in the mountains, and he was feeding on grasses and herbs and just like living by himself like a little hermit out there. But his problem was that he had dropsy, which is basically just like where your like body swells, and so he would just get like real bloated in all parts of his body. And so he would sometimes go and see the doctors, and he would explain to the doctors his condition. He was like, yo, I'm dropsying up. But he would tell his symptoms to them in riddles. And so the doctors are like, I don't know what the fuck you're saying, Heraclitus. I don't get it. And then he was like, well, you're dumb if you don't get my riddles, doctor. And so then he would walk away and be like, I can cure myself. And so he would go out back to his little hermitude or whatever he was doing.
He did not know how good he had it back then. I'm sure the healthcare system was better back then than it is now.
I'm
mad. Nika is so mad about the healthcare system right now, today. You should be.
So the dropsy is what led to Mr. Heraclitus' demise, but also maybe his real demise was his pride, okay? Because he's like, I know better than these motherfuckers. Here's what I'm going to do. And okay, sure, we don't know exactly how he died, but here's what they think happened to this man. He was like, okay, these doctors who I talk to riddles in don't understand me. They don't get me. So what I'm going to do is this classic ointment of cow manure. I'm going to rub the manure all over my body. And then I'm going to go sit in the sun with this manure, because that's obviously going to absorb all of the liquid that's filling up my body from the dropsy.
I mean, what philosopher is thinking that that's the right thing to do? Like, the reason that it's exiting a body is because it doesn't need to be in there. So why are you trying to put it back on you?
The cow manure?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, he was thinking of it as kind of like how you would think of maybe like a mud facial right now, you know, where you get
it,
like,
would take out all of the liquid.
So my dude, Heraclitus, he was like, okay, I've caked myself in manure, and now I'm going to lay back and let the sun absorb all the shit out of me via the shit, basically. But then they say, this one bro said, well, he was just baking out in the sun, and then suddenly he was attacked by a herd of wild dogs, and the dogs ate him up, and he died.
Oh no, my God. That's not where I was expecting that to go.
Yeah, that just like spiraled very quickly. Okay, I feel like this is not accurate.
We could have because, a lot like, of
no
not to I don't want to attack Gabby. No, I think that the story is accurate in the sense that philosophers were sharing the story, but I kind of think they just hated him.
Yeah, I feel like they were just bullying him.
I mean, for good reason. Can you imagine someone looking at you and be like, you just don't get me, you're dumb? Well, it's happened to me a lot of times, actually. And it feels bad.
Nika.
Yeah, so I don't think you and Heraclitus would get along
absolutely
very well.
Not.
Because he was not very nice to, like, his predecessors or his fellow colleagues. He thought everyone was dumb. So I'm sure everyone was like, okay, sure, maybe he just died of a regular death of dropsy. Yeah. Or maybe he was trying to cure himself another way with dropsy. But know what we're going to write down? That he was eaten by dogs after he was covered in cow manure.
There is so much in history that I just don't believe, because I don't trust the people who wrote history down. There is a lot that I think was just said to
metaphor.
Metaphors, or to make other people look bad, or to erase other people from history. I or just riddles, don't believe it.
You know?
Or riddles, exactly.
Also, the concept of history wasn't invented until much later, after Heraclitus was alive. So that's another thing, too. But I think maybe if we are thinking about the other philosophers who in turn became petty because Heraclitus was such a petty motherfucker of just being like, everyone's worse than me, or like a condescending brat, basically, then I kind of understand their metaphor is like, we don't like this guy, ha ha, he was covered in cow dung and got eaten by dogs.
That sounds like a rumor that would be like started today.
Like, fake news.
Listen, Heraclitus, he was eaten by dogs.
Eaten by wild dogs. That does sound like a terrible death, though. And I am really horrified that he just was, like, out there baking and shit in the sun.
Yeah, like, if he was, whether all of that's true or not, or whether he died by dogs or dung or dropsy, all of those things are just subpar at best, you know?
Yeah, well, I think, like, any way that he died was probably bad. But we know it started with the D.
We know it started with a D.
Dogs, dropsy, or dung.
Choose your player.
Choose your player.
Gabby, wait, we each get a player. Who? Gabby, well,
I'm dung, obviously.
Yeah. I'm dropsy. Because I think dog. You're dogs, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
Gabby, do you think that learning about this story has helped you to grow as a person? Has it made you face some of your negative qualities?
Well, I think about, thank you for asking that question. Well, yeah. What I like to think about is sometimes if you think too deeply about having a negative life, then, I mean, yes, let us baseline accept life is meaningless, nothing matters, etc. But if you just live that way, you're not going to do anything exciting. So I can say that's all true, but know what? I'm going to pretend that there's something that's better out there so that I don't get eaten by dogs.
Okay. Mm-mm.
That feels like a real journey for you.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm fixating so much on Gabby's journey this time. I don't know why.
I'm just a very important person.
Oh my gosh. She learned nothing.
You're working on the affirmations.
Wow. Okay. Well, Gabby has learned nothing, and we'll be right back.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests.
As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, cadaver gals. I have a great story for you. You're going to love this, Nika, because we're going back to the year of 1997. That was the year you were born. You don't even know. It was an amazing year. The Spice Girls, they were ruling. Bop was an actual bop. The 90s were hot, and I'm really sad that you missed out on a lot of it. Did you have, like, a windbreaker suit? A windsuit?
No.
I did.
Oh, I did as a little baby.
Yeah, like as a kid.
Those outfits, though, are so loud. You know, because it's like, because I have the
oh,
one.
Yeah.
I
got some for pants. Audio.
Yeah, because yeah. Then you're just like. That's just what the 90s everywhere. Sounded like.
That's totally
yeah,
fair.
I don't
That's
think I missed out on too much.
All right. So we're going to Florida, Palm Springs, Florida. This is about a fella named William, who went by Bill. So Bill, he went out for drinks one night. And he, around 9:30 p.m., he called his girlfriend and he said, "Hey, checking in." So sweet of him, by the way. Checking in.
Probably like on a payphone.
Oh, totally.
Or did they page?
No, probably a payphone. Let's be completely.
That's like so sweet, like extra.
Yeah. You went out of your way. You have to have change. How yeah. loud? Because you're your windbreaker suit.
Or your cargo and you pants, and you can pull out a coin.
And you got your change in your pockets.
Okay,
you
so.
You had no change all the time.
Yeah, this is just to tell anyone that if your partner's like, "Oh, it's like, sorry, I didn't check in last night. Like, I just like couldn't." Bro, Billy in the year of 97 checked in on a payphone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You need to ask for better standards.
Exactly. But anyway, so they said that he had left around 11 or 11:30, but they also said that he was fine. Like, you know, the bar seemed to like it seemed like they checked in on him just to like make sure that he was good. They didn't want him to endanger himself or anyone else, et cetera, et cetera. So he left around 11:30, and y'all, he was never seen again. He literally vanishes.
Oh my gosh.
He was like in his car and just like vanished?
Yeah. They said they saw him leave around 11:30, and then he was never seen or heard from again. So he had a girlfriend, you know, and she was obviously very worried. So she like called it in. She was like, he never came home. There was, you know, it was like a missing persons. He was reported, all of that. And so anyway, fast forward to 2019, we're still in Florida, and there's this new like subdivision like in this area or something going up, you know, and there was this developer and he was like surveying the land or something. I don't know, whatever developers
looking
do.
At the land. Just they were like, just yeah, looking this at him, is like, some good land.
You know, we went from 1997 to drones. Okay. And so he gets his drone. And he's like surveying the land. He's like checking out to see like what things look like. And there's this pond. There's this like man-made pond, right? and he sees this like little thing like glisten in the camera of his drone. And he's like, that looks like a car. And so he goes to his computer and he goes to Google Earth and he sees that there's this car, like it's very visible. There is this silver sedan in this pond. So he calls the sheriff's department and they come to do what they have to do to get the car out of the pond. And they find a skeleton. And you, Nika, guessed it. It was Mr. Bill.
That would be crazy if it was a different person. And then that Bill story was just a setup. Really, we still don't know where he is.
He's still missing. No. So 22 years later, they find out that this is Bill. So they take him to the medical. They, you know, it's handed over to the medical examiner. You know, there's really no evidence of foul play or anything like that. They just kind of assume that he lost control of the vehicle and landed in the pond.
And back then, that was undeveloped land, right?
Yeah, but I mean, this pond, like, it's man-made. It was still there. And so that brings me, okay, so that brings me to my first question. Like,
who was the man who made the pond?
It's all his fault.
Yeah. No, so he's missing. They knew where he was previously. He had checked in at 9:30. 11:30, they see him leave. Like, retrace his steps and did they not see the tire tracks?
Yeah.
I just find that really strange. And I'm like, what was going on in 1997?
It was the 90s and they didn't know about bodies of water back then.
I know. Well, I mean, it is Florida.
I mean, these were some, even if they were Florida swamp cops, though, I mean, they know about the power of the water.
They
so
do.
They should have known.
I'm very confused by that.
It's very
confusing.
Abolish
the police.
Yeah.
They can't even find somebody's car in a pond. How many ponds? I mean, Florida, though, has a lot of sinkholes that can just spring down out of nowhere. So they probably had to look in like at least 1,000 sinkholes. So also maybe one of them was going through a divorce, one of them cops. So you don't ever know what people are going through.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, fine. Next thing then, though, is Google. You know, Google finds a lot of, like, catches crimes and, like, criminals and things. They have to go through every single frame to blur out all of the faces. So did they not see the car? And, like, what? I don't know this answer. So if anybody knows, anybody works for Google Earth or something like that. Like, what's the rule there? Like, if you see something, is it like, don't ask, don't tell? Like, you just like, you just put it out there and you're like, okay, this is what it's like over here. This is your crime zone.
I've always been a don't ask, don't tell kind of person. Like one time in Australia, when I was in my apartment, I looked out of my window and I saw this guy rob someone at gunpoint and the guy took his wallet and then ran away.
Well, what were you going to do?
And I didn't say anything.
But at least you didn't then double mug that person. You know, you're
yeah,
like,
my 8-year-old self.
I already see they're in a vulnerable position, so I'm going to mug them as well.
Why did you do that? What would Nika gain from that? Because they already got all the goods.
I'm just saying, if they look
like
a good person.
I don't know. Maybe you should.
Okay, if they look like they're a good person to mug, what if someone steals their fancy bag and their wallet or whatever? Maybe if they have nice things that people want to mug, then maybe they have a nice shirt on. Like a nice silk
Gabby's
blouse.
Gabby's strip them nude?
Oh my God. Where's their dignity?
I don't like
Nika's
public,
helpful.
I don't like
Gabby's
public
going
nudity.
To remug.
I don't like public nudity, but I would steal someone's clothes. What if it was a ruffly pirate shirt? Everybody needs one of those.
I would steal a pirate shirt.
I don't
off
have
someone.
One of those.
Yeah.
And if I saw someone wearing that ruffly shirt.
Like the perfect pirate shirt. Yeah. It's hard to find.
And if they had gotten mugged and then they were crying about it, then I might do a follow up.
Double follow up. I'm going to circle back and mug you in a couple of minutes. 1 second.
All right. To all of you listeners, if you ever see one of the three of us, hope that you're not getting mugged, A.
Yeah.
Because Nika won't help you.
You're mugged if you see us
in real life, you're getting mugged.
But if you do get mugged, also continue to run because you're still not safe.
No, we're not going to help you. I'll tell you that much.
You're not going to get helped, and then you're still not safe afterwards because then Gabby's going to take your pirate shirt that you're really wearing. Evidently, you're wearing a pirate shirt, probably. So please don't wear a pirate shirt when you get mugged.
Yeah.
And but if you do get mugged, you can go to mugging.com/cadavergals, file a police report there, and then we'll delete it.
I just feel
like with the Google, circle back, not circle back.
Where
muggin,
are we?
Circle back to the Google person. I just understand why they keep to themselves, because I do that. Like, I'm very like, unless it's a serious situation, I'm not gonna look at you. I'm not gonna talk to you. Like, I'm just gonna keep going with my life. And that is really bad, but it's also kind of how I grew up.
Okay. Aww. That's fine.
So, like, the Google person is just kind of like, listen, I'm just doing a job, bro.
All right. We're very different. If y'all haven't figured this out, we're very different people.
Yeah.
I feel like I would help. I would at least call 911 or something.
Yeah, okay, Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa. I'm calling 911 and still like, Nika, she's going to pretend like it didn't happen, and Gabby will mug you. So there you go.
Anyway, Taylor, do you have any more button information about this story?
Absolutely, and I was just getting ready to get to it. Okay, for anyone who may not know, if you find yourself in a vehicle that has crashed into a body of water, a pond, ocean, lake, what have you, use your headrest, okay? Your headrest, you know, is detachable, and if it doesn't detach in the front like mine, I have them in the back. So pull that baddie out and smash the window, because you're not going to be able to open the door. You're not going to be able to smash the window yourself. But that is like sharp and hard, and you can smash the window and swim out, okay? Anyway, this was a very wonderful and chaotic episode of Cadaver Gals. Join us next week when who knows what kind of madness will ensue. Thank you for listening to this chaos.
The end. Ta-da. Period. Abracadabra.
Cadaver Gals. Cadaver Gals is a production of School of Humans and iHeartRadio. Cadaver Gals is produced, written, edited, and mixed by the three of us, Gabby Watts, Nika Duarte, and Taylor Church. We also have some EPs, not sure how they want to be credited, but don't you worry, they're three white dudes. You can also follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Cadaver Gals.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.